This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. I need to remind you that about halfway through this hour, Attorney General of Missouri Andrew Bailey is coming on. He's suing China. How does that work? I hate to ask stupid questions. I'm going to ask him, how do you get any money from that if China doesn't agree? So I'll ask the AG that in a little bit. A little programming note, we were going to have cartel expert Brandon Darby on halfway through next hour. We're going to have him at the start of next hour. What do you call that in radio, Chris? Top of the hour. Top of the hour. We're going to have Brandon Darby on. What a journalist I am. Oh, my God.
It's Journalist Jesse.
But for now, let's make fun of Democrats before we do some emails and talk about Social Security and other things. So the American people are waking up every day. And they're getting headlines that are eye-popping about government corruption, fraud, waste. And, well, this was Caroline Levitt.
President Trump has directed Elon Musk and the Doge team to identify fraud at the Social Security Administration. They haven't dug into the books yet, but they suspect that there are tens of millions of deceased people who are receiving fraudulent Social Security payments. And so their goal in going into the Social Security Administration is to identify three things. Number one, to identify duplicate payments and to end them. Number two, to identify payments that are going to deceased people who are no longer living and should no longer be receiving that money. And number three, to protect the integrity of this system for hardworking Americans who have been paying into it their entire lives.
Who's against that? I'm looking at this headline. You know, what is politics? Especially when it comes to a representative republic, a constitutional republic like we have here. What is it? If you really want political power, you generally have to be on the side of the majority of the public. And ideally, you want to be on the side of the large majority of the public. Like Trump's really masterful with this. The men and women sports thing. Why didn't Trump push that further? Like as far as you would probably take that with all the tranny madness. Because you poll test just that. Men and women sports. It's 80-20. The American people despise it. Even a majority of Democrats hate it. Now, if you're a Democrat, you're more likely, well, I mean, yeah, he's a tranny and it's okay. I mean, you can change that. But even then, you don't want them beating up women in sports. Even then, you'll draw a line. Okay, well, at least don't beat up the fifth grade girl, right? Trump takes that stance. No men and women sports. It's just the art of politics. The art of being popular. Here's a headline from the Epoch Times. Database lists 12 million people older than 120 as eligible for Social Security. 12 million people who are dead are eligible for Social Security. Here's a headline. Musk's Doge discovers 4.7 trillion with a T as in Tom, Tango, whatever, tangerine. 4.7 trillion vanished in untraceable payments. Social Security had resigned after what might be the biggest fraud in U.S. history. Now, these are not Republican issues, Democrat issues, independent issues. Citizens who reside in the United States of America, 80-20, they want government corruption cleaned out. Now, that brings us to the current state of the Democrat Party. Senator Ed Markey had a rally to protest all this Doge stuff.
The revolution of same-sex marriage started here. The revolution against the war in Vietnam started here. The revolution against Donald Trump and Elon Musk, it starts here in Boston.
The revolution in Vietnam against Vietnam started here, and the revolution against Elon and Trump starts here. Revolution against cleaning up government corruption? And I saw this. This is the Palantir CEO Alex Karp. He said this.
I just view this as, well, let's watch the Democratic Party commit suicide. And like, I've been a Democrat most of my life. I kind of view myself as outside it, but I don't like watching the Democrats just commit suicide. And what I see is most of the country doesn't really, at this point, given the fraud, waste, and abuse we know is there, 90% of the country is like, get rid of that fraud, waste, and abuse. And I just view this as yet another example of the progressive left boxing themselves in into a suicide dance.
That's such an outstanding way to put it. It's why I wanted to play it for you. Boxing themselves into a suicide dance. Here's an eye-popping number for you. 45% of Democrats want their party to shift to the middle. But the problem is that 45%, they don't run the party. The party, I say, has been handed over to the radical Marxists, the cultural Marxists, but that may not be entirely fair because these are animals, they're revolutionaries, they're used to infiltrating things and infecting them and conquering institutions. So maybe it wasn't as much the old guard of the Democrat Party handed it over to the new generation of nut jobs. Maybe it's not as much that as the new generation of nut jobs simply infiltrated it, worked their way through it like the revolutionaries they are, and now they run it. But whatever the reason, they now run it. And it's not like I want them to improve. It's like I'm at the zoo watching monkeys throw poop at each other. I'm amazed that they can't. I'm amazed at how locked into their religious beliefs they are. They simply cannot let them go. This constant revolution stuff, constant you must oppose everything Donald Trump does. One of the greatest benefits politically Donald Trump has had in his remarkable run in politics is he can count on Democrats vocally opposing everything. It doesn't matter what he does. Trump could pick up an adorable puppy and snuggle it and kiss it on television, and that afternoon it would be Democrat after Democrat after Democrat vocally coming out against puppies. It makes you look horrible when you don't know when to shut up. And that's probably what gets me the most. It's not like I expect them to come out and endorse anything Elon Musk is doing or Trump is doing. I'm not naive. I know how politics works. You know how politics works. I don't expect Ed Markey to give a news conference saying, well, you know, I didn't vote for Donald Trump, but I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of cleaning out this corruption, and I think he's doing a really good job. I'm not naive. That's not going to happen. But you don't have to say anything. You don't have to vocally oppose it. You don't have to stand in the streets and call for revolution because they're finding corruption and waste. It's the biggest political gimme, one of the biggest political gimmies I've ever seen in my life. All you say right now, if you're a Democrat, is, I can't stand Donald Trump. I think he's doing a terrible job. We need to get Democrats back in charge. I am glad we're cleaning out some of this fraud and abuse, though, because the taxpayer, the American citizen, deserves better. That's all you have to say. It's the easiest layup in the world. But they can't do it. I think it was my buddy Aaron McIntyre who came up with the term, the suicidal death spiral, I think he called it, where you're each one has to out-radicalize the one before him, and then the next one has to out-radicalize, then the next one. I hate Trump even more than you do. No, I hate him even more. I hate him even more. And without anybody there to keep it all in check, they're completely losing it. James Carville, that longtime political strategist, came out and said, I dedicated the best years of my life to this beeping party, only to see it taken over by a bunch of stupid I really can't quote much of James Carville here on this family show, but yeah, I'll just leave it at that. You get the gist of what he's saying. The older Democrats, I told you about this, the older Democrats who built the coalition that kept them in power for so long are watching these nutballs give it all back. And I love it. I think it's hilarious. Let's do some emails before we talk about Fort Knox. Let's get your pain right, though. Let's get the pain out of your life. That daily grinding pain that keeps you up at night, that keeps you from getting out of bed in the morning, that keeps you from golfing, going for a walk, playing pickleball? What don't you do that you used to do before your hands started hurting, your back, your shoulder, your neck's always bothering you? Let Relief Factor get that pain out of your life. 100% drug-free. It's a supplement. It will build up in your body over time. The longer you take it, the better it works. That's why they sell three-week quick starts of it. $19.95. You take it every single day. Stop masking that pain. Stop avoiding pickleball. Pickleball is a blast. I'll tell you about that in a second. Start embracing Relief Factor. ReliefFactor.com or give them a call, 1-800-4-RELIEF. I might be retiring next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, an amazing Tuesday. Member, Attorney General of Missouri joins us about 10 minutes from now. I want to know, how do you sue China? Maybe we should sue China, Chris. You have to know some lawyers. Well, I don't know what for, whatever. They hate me already anyway. We can sue China. Anyway, we'll discuss that with the AG of Missouri, Brandon Darby. If that cartel talk interested you in the beginning of the show, you'll want to hang around. Brandon Darby's going to join us about 45 minutes from now. I'm way behind on emails, though. Jesse, Trump has reduced 10,000 illegals a day to 392 a day. Why is there still 392? If they can count them, if people are getting frustrated with the pace of deportation and people are starting to call out Trump for it. Why is it slowing down? It shouldn't be slowing down. Why is it slowing down? Okay, so let me explain it this way, best I can. Let's say I'm fat. And in fact, I am fat right now. But let's say I'm fat. And here's the thing about me. I've had periods of time in my life where I've been in good shape, and then I'll get fat, and then I'll get myself back in shape, and I'll get fat. It's terrible. Don't be like that. Don't be like me. But I need to lose some weight. Now, I brought up pickleball before I went into the break. I can play pickleball. I've played one game of pickleball, actually. One game. I won. Won pretty easily, thinking I might end up going professional, but that's another story entirely. So exercise is one of the things that helped me get back in better shape and lose some weight. Soda, pop, depending on which part of the country you're in. That's the one for me that's easy. That is 5 pounds for me. Did you know that? I've done this enough times in my life where I get fat, get back in shape, that soda, it's 5 pounds, meaning if I drink a water with my meal instead of that Mountain Dew or that Coke or something like that, 5 pounds, that's a difference. And it's almost on the button, 5 pounds, and it's directly off my stomach, 5 pounds. Now, let's say I'm 50 pounds overweight. Well, it's really not that difficult for me. For me, everyone has their vices and things they love more. But for me, cutting out soda is actually fairly easy. And I haven't had any in a while. It's just not a big deal. I'm not big on that. I'd rather, frankly, have water. I feel better. Cutting out soda is not easy. So, boom, I need to lose 50. Five of it's gone. Nice. That was the easy part. Now, I got 45 more to lose. That's a lot of pickleball. Start looking at my diet. I think maybe the tacos are going to have to get phased out. Maybe the cheesesteaks. The pizza. We have a great Detroit-style pizza place here. Love you, Jets. Jets is probably going to have to go. Now, can I do these things? Can I cut out the tacos? Can I cut out the cheesesteaks? Can I cut out the pizza? Maybe. I don't even want to say yes. Maybe. But I promise you this. It won't be easy. Not for me. That's how I eat. Maybe you don't eat that way, and it would be easy for you. The soda was the low-hanging fruit, the easy part for me. But now that we got the easy part done, the hard part has to begin, where the cheesesteaks have to go. In the United States of America, the Biden administration brought in 20 million people on purpose. Large numbers of those people were monsters. Real legitimate monsters where countries emptied their prisons of the worst people they had and put them in the United States of America. Those people oftentimes, under the Biden administration, they were given labels where they didn't deport them. They caught them and released them. But even still, they put a marker on them of, hey, this guy got quite a record down in old Guatemala. Just want to let you know he's down there in San Antonio. Just a heads up, he's in this neighborhood. The worst of the worst of the worst, the ones who needed to be removed immediately, we knew where they were. That was the easy part. The first few weeks, what we saw, that was the easy part. Now, as a country, and this may be something that will affect you, affect me, now it's time for the cheesesteaks. It's time for the pizza. It's time for that cheeseburger. It's time, now that we got rid of the easy stuff, now it's time to get rid of the stuff that will be hard. It will be more difficult. Here's the truth of it. I was actually joking with Chris and Corey before the show, but it's 100% true. Do you ever get food delivered? We get food delivered. You know, I've told you this before. I try to get food for the fellas once a day. We get food delivered. So it's 5 days a week. We get food delivered here. We don't have a restaurant right next door. We got to have someone bring it to us. We're working. We get food delivered. Food delivery times have, fellas, doubled? Tripled, Chris says more. Tripled? That's probably not unreasonable. Tripled. Now look at me whining about this. This is a small price to pay to save a country. I'm not complaining. I'm pointing out. Already, today, we have a taco joint, probably the closest joint to us. Today, we got tacos. We get them every time. 10 minutes, 15 minutes about max. Today, about 45 minutes for them to get here. Why? Trump deported all the illegals. The DoorDash, Uber Eats, regular, any kind of delivery driver, favor, whatever app you happen to use, they are famously some of the easiest jobs for illegals to get. They just are. It's something I've known about. I've talked about it on the show forever. It's a normal profession, a safe profession, easy for an illegal to get into it. So, look, this is a minor thing, but are you ready for more expensive produce? Local hotel. Actually, a hotel by your mother. You're going to leave town. You go visit your mother every few months. You're going to leave town. You're going to stay at the Best Western nearby. Best Western used to be $65 a night. You show up at the Best Western to check in, it's $75 a night. You talk to the manager about it. You follow it down. The manager had to let go of some of the housekeeping staff. Wages had to go up. Wages went up. Room prices went up. This is not a complaint. Illegal immigration, illegal immigrants themselves have for decades been ingraining themselves into our society in a million different ways. I warned you 1,000 times, even after Trump got elected, that we are not going to mass deport 20 million people, that it was not possible. I warned you 1,000 times. So here it is again. Now it's going to take time. You can't deport them as fast as you brought them in. I'm sorry. Andrew Bailey joins us next. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, a wonderful Tuesday. And it's time to talk to Andrew Bailey, Attorney General, Big Cheese, top lawman in the state of Missouri. And I'm excited about his political future. How many politicians have you ever heard me say that about? So let's first talk about this, Mr. Attorney General. Why are you suing China?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. But look, Missourians are still demanding justice for the wrongs perpetrated during the COVID pandemic. And it starts with China. The Chinese communist government caused that pandemic to be unleashed upon the rest of the world, lied to the world about it, produced essential PPE that the people needed access to, that the states needed access to, and then hoarded that PPE and deprived us of access to it. So traditional communist economic theory, they create a demand and then limit and manipulate the supply. This was enormously detrimental to the people of the state of Missouri. And we have filed suit to redress that grievance against him. And look, this isn't some crackpot legal theory. The people's elected representatives in Congress in 1976 codified a method by which states could redress exactly this sort of grievance against a foreign entity. And it's called the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. That's the basis of our claim. We have filed suit. China has refused to participate in the suit. And we're asking for $25 billion with a B dollars.
Okay, so walk me through that, because I'm an idiot and I don't understand how lawsuits like this work. China's, quote, refusing to participate, as you say. Where does this get adjudicated? And if it comes out on your end, what, you got to fly over there and pick up a suitcase full of cash? How does this work?
Well, those are great questions. So the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, provides that venue is proper in any United States district court where venue would otherwise be proper under the law. And so we filed suit in the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Missouri and served the Chinese Communist government with process. So they were served notice. They were provided an opportunity to be heard and defend against the claims I've raised or raise any counterclaims they may have. And they just didn't show up, didn't answer our lawsuit, didn't show up to court. Initially, the United States District Court dismissed the case on its own. And we appealed that decision to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, who reinstated the case. And so that sent us back down to the trial court. And the trial court said, okay, well, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals reinstated it. We're going to have a trial. State, bring in your evidence. China, you know where to find us if you want to come participate. China didn't do so. We put on our evidence. At the end of the trial, the judge said, okay, I just need some supplemental briefing and submit a proposed order. So we have done that. And we anticipate that after we submit our supplemental briefing here into this week, beginning of next week, shortly thereafter, the court will sign a judgment for $25 billion on behalf of the state of Missouri against the Chinese Communist government. And then it's up to us to identify Chinese-owned assets anywhere in the state of Missouri or the United States of America. And we can work with any willing partner who's then can help us seize those assets so they can be sold to make good on that $25 billion judgment.
Gosh, that sounds so sweet. I want to be involved in that. Actually, no, don't, because I'll screw something up. But that sounds absolutely amazing. Joining me now, Attorney General for Missouri, Andrew Bailey, and a good one. Okay, now let's talk about Starbucks. Not exactly a fan myself. Clearly, you're not either. Why are you suing them?
Well, look, ever since 2020, Starbucks has announced they would have a diversity, equity, and inclusion program that included race-based hiring quotas. And in 2021, 2023, they actually published that their executive bonus structure was tied to their executives' ability to achieve those racial quotas in hiring and advancement. That's enormously problematic. It violates the law in the form of the Missouri Human Rights Act and Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, both of which prohibit discrimination in the workplace. And that's what we're fighting against, is discriminatory hiring and promotional practices by essentially a racist corporation. And so this lawsuit's important. And I think we're one of the first states in the nation to actually file this kind of lawsuit to end discrimination in the workplace in corporate America. And we're going to keep fighting for Missouri workers and for equality for all and for advancement based on merit.
I love that you are aggressive with your job, aggressive with protecting the people of Missouri. And I'm actually sad that I even have to say that to you, because in my mind, that's always been what I expect of my attorney general, especially if he's on the right. I expect him to advocate for me. Why is that so rare these days? It's not that common. People get into that position and they're just trying to go be the senator, or which I hope you will be one day, or governor or something like that, instead of seeing themselves as my shield, my vanguard. If I live in Missouri, I need you out in front protecting me.
Well, and I appreciate you, Jesse. Look, I want to be your shield and your sword. And at the end of the day, even if you're not a constituent, I can still represent you in the offensive litigation that we file in order to protect our rights and in discriminatory practices in the workplace and so forth. And so, look, I'm no politician. I just want the right thing here, and it's authorized under the law. If we just enforce the laws as written and let the deliberative bodies like the General Assembly or Congress change the laws, that's how laws get changed. But as long as I have the laws on the books, I'm going to enforce the laws as written and try to find justice for the people of the state of Missouri.
Speaking of the laws as written, we have these activist judges all across the country, this district, that district. It's not hard, apparently, for them to dig up some judge who's going to throw yet another stumbling block in the Trump agenda, trying to get things right. When does this end? It's exhausting for those of us who voted for this. We want these things done, and then we watch some hack from the bench destroy it all.
Yeah, you're totally right. Look, Article 3 of the United States Constitution limits the federal judiciary determining cases and controversies between parties. Nothing in our constitutional structure ever authorized unelected federal judges to make law or to strike down laws or executive actions nationwide. And so I'm advocating for a limited judiciary. Judicial restraint would be the proper term. I think you saw a lot of that, for instance, in Justice Clarence Thomas' dissent in the net choice case that was handed down this summer, where he excoriated this idea that plaintiffs could raise facial challenges to state or federal statute and that a singular unelected United States district court would then enjoin enforcement of a statute that had been put into place by the people's elected representatives. That undermines our constitutional structure and our democratic republic. And so that's what we're fighting against. And again, it's about the proper role of the judiciary in adjudicating cases and controversies between parties, not making law.
Again, speaking with Attorney General of Missouri, Andrew Bailey, can you speak to the attorney, other AGs around the country and DAs around the country, and what we saw under the Biden administration of just essentially waging an open war on Republicans? And in my mind, it's one of the most dangerous things I've seen happen in this country. And I don't dismiss it now that that Trump got away with all of it and got into the White House. We've set a precedent now that I think takes us down a really dark road, and I'm worried that we can't get off that road now that they started us down it.
I completely agree. I think you can't overstate the danger to our democratic republic by the Biden-Harris administration's weaponization of government, the Soros-backed prosecutors and district attorneys' weaponization of government against political opponents, the coordination and collaboration between Biden's corrupt Department of Justice, Letitia James, the New York State Attorney General, Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan District Attorney, and others, Fani Willis in Georgia. Again, this was a collaborated, coordinated attack on our democratic process with President Trump as the chosen victim, but he was a stand-in for the rest of us. And if they can do it to him, you better believe they can do it to you. If they disagree with you or you disagree with them, they're going to use the apparatus of government to come after you. That's why I support so much of what President Trump is doing, his efforts with DOGE, the innovative Elon Musk, to reduce the overall size of government. It's a zero-sum game. Less government, more freedom.
Amen. Mr. Attorney General, you come back, join me anytime. And thank you again for that wonderful card you sent me. It really did mean a lot. I appreciate you very much.
Hey, God bless you. Thank you so much for having me on. Look forward to talking soon.
Told you. Dude sent me a personal little letter, a handwritten card, after my dad died. Showed up at my house. Man, what does he get out of that? I'm not voting for him. I'm not in Missouri. I'm in Texas. What does he get out of that? Just solid human being. And the reason I wanted him on, you know, I don't have a lot of politicians on. That kind of aggressiveness is what we need out of every single red state AG. We can't get complacent and sit back now that Trump's gutting the federal government, things are going our way. We need more aggression at the state and local level. We have to be on that. Now, speaking of family members, ones that are still here, ones that are gone, memories are things we all try to keep, right? We try to hang on to them. But what happens to all those old VHS tapes, all those old home movies, the camcorder tapes, the pictures? That's all we ever had. When I was a kid, read the hard copy pictures. You had to go get them developed, or you had a Polaroid. You have a box of those, don't you? You have a baby book, don't you? A wedding album. Why don't you get those digitized? I'm not saying give up the hard copy, but time is going to destroy that hard copy. Maybe just the humidity, the age, a fire, flood, whatever. Eventually that hard copy goes away. You know it never goes away. The digital copy you get from Legacy Box. You put that stuff in a box. You mail it to Legacy Box. By the way, they send you the box first. You don't have to worry about that. They send you the box. You put it in there. You mail it to Legacy Box. They're pros. They digitize it all. And so that picture of Grandpa from World War II that's on your wall, your great-great-grandkids will get to see that too. Isn't that important to you? It really matters to me. Save 50% at legacybox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I'm going to have to pull some strings here pretty shortly. Why would I be pulling strings? By the way, you can email the show, and you should. Love, hate, death threats. Email those into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So Rand Paul, along with Mike Lee and a couple of the other decent senators, have started to bring up a decent question. A question about Fort Knox. You see, there is a question now. The internet's running wild. Is there actually any gold inside of Fort Knox? And that brought Mike Lee around on this. Remember, United States Senator, good one from the state of Utah. Mike Lee came out and said, hey, I've tried to get in Fort Knox several times. They won't let me in. Now that Mike Lee is on this, and now that Elon Musk is on this, obviously this is going to land on Donald Trump's desk, and I'm sure it probably already has. That means there's going to be some sort of an official visit to Fort Knox. Chris, go ahead and write that one down. Shortly, there's going to be an official visit to Fort Knox. I need to be there. I need to be on this trip. Chris, why are you rolling your eyes? Listen, hear me out. Listen, have you ever seen the movie Goldfinger? It's an old James Bond movie, a Sean Connery movie. It's one of the great movies. What, Chris? You saw the Austin Powers version? You know what, Chris? I don't want to talk to you anymore right now. All right. So there's this great James Bond movie called Goldfinger. Probably not appropriate for the kids. Looking back on it with some of the names, maybe my dad probably shouldn't have let me watch that when I was a kid. Either way, the climax takes place in Fort Knox. And I've seen this movie 25 times. And ever since I watched this movie when I was a kid, I've been fascinated by Fort Knox. I want to see it. And Chris, I think we should reach out. You know what? I'm going to do it right now. On the show, live on the air. I'm going to text Mike Lee, and I'm going to say, hey, take me with you to Fort Knox. Take me with you. What, Chris? I am. I'm dead serious on this. Cross my heart, hope to die. I'm texting Mike Lee. Plus one, Chris, can you be trusted in Fort Knox? I'll take Corey and we'll film it for you. All right. No one's going to let you inside of Fort Knox. Although I probably should bring you along. You're the expert, right? Okay. So take me with you to Fort Knox. Now, Mike Lee has officially been texted. We are live on the air. What time is it? It's a Tuesday night. Chris, what approximate time is it Eastern time? You don't do time zones, whatever. Mike Lee, we'll see if he can come through. I've always wanted to see it. All my life, I just texted him right here live on the air. Let's see if we can do it, Chris. Now, do you want to know as much about the history of the United States of America or the Constitution as Mike Lee does? You know, Hillsdale can do that for you. Hillsdale College, the amazing college we all want our kids to get into, they're offering free courses now. No cost. Over 40 free online courses. How about the history of the ancient Christian church? You know, you don't learn that. Where do you learn that? I'm not talking about the Bible. The history of the church, its early days, its growth. Well, how much do you know about that? You can go get a free education on it. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you go to enroll. No cost. It's easy to get started. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Oh, Chris, Mike just texted back. No, I'm not even kidding. All right, what did he say? He texted back and said, sounds like fun. Yes, we are in there like swimwear. All right, Chris, after your Goldfinger comment, no. Corey, I will see if I can get a plus one. And I give you my word, we will not bring Chris. We will leave Chris alone. We'll leave Chris behind. We'll film the whole thing, and we'll just film all that gold. We'll see if we can maybe pocket one bar. No one's going to freak out about, what, Chris? That's not that heavy. I'll bring a satchel. You already know I have those. Hey, all-knowing Jarhead, your description of how Kamala stopped maturing at a young age is on full display on her drunken video at the Chicago Broadway show. Chris, see if you can grab that clip of Dome. She went to this Broadway show, and they interviewed her afterwards. And it's one of the funniest things that I've seen, because not only does Dome come out with this mindless gibberish as she's answering all these stupid questions, but she's surrounded by all these brain-dead communist drones and they're spend the whole time. You'll hear it if Chris can actually find the. Oh, he has it. You'll hear. Listen to the drones. It's not even dome. Listen to the guys around her. She'll say the dumbest thing, and they'll be all, "Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely."
For those rights to be maintained, which means we have to be vigilant, and it's just the nature of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look what this beautiful play and everything that we know he ended, that he was suppressed. He had to suppress so much. But he knew, and he took those risks. But we have to be clear-eyed. And it doesn't mean we don't see the beauty in everything. Mm-hmm. Right? These things all coexist.
Stop. I can't take it anymore. Did you hear what she said? We have to be clear-eyed. But that doesn't mean you can't see the beauty in anything. And they're all like, yeah, absolutely. How big of a loser do you have to be to respond to that idiocy like that? Ooh, remember, Brandon Darby's coming up in like 2 minutes. I know that's a rarity, having him on at the top of the hour. Chris, I know that's a rarity, but we wanted to get him on to talk a little bit more about the cartel stuff because it fascinates me. Hey, Papa Cream of the Crop. I love applying your explanation of the Overton window to everything I see in politics these days. I feel like the libs overpaced themselves and through excessive DEI racial division have caused the window to rapidly reverse course to our side. Penny, for your thoughts. As the Overton window shifted back to our side, I don't know that I would go so far as to say it has shifted back to our side, but it has most definitely stopped shifting left as of right now. And this is probably as close as I've ever seen us to moving it back in the opposite direction. And there are really two reasons for that, and those two reasons kind of go hand in hand. First, we anti-communists got a lot tougher with them. We tried the nice route for so long. Live and let live with them. Oh, roll your eyes. We tried that, but we realized you have to deal with these people aggressively. So that we got a lot better about. But it's always what's killed communists. It's killed them so many times. They cannot control themselves. Remember, things like the FBI. You and I talk about the FBI. You know what Barack Obama did? Unsurprisingly, there were all these department heads in the FBI. Barack Obama got elected, fired them all. And replaced, and they were like FBI, like law enforcement guys, fired all the law enforcement guys and put in a bunch of communist bureaucrats in there. Today, the FBI will call you a terrorist for speaking out at your school board. As soon as they got the power Barack Obama gave them, they simply couldn't control themselves with how they used it, and they turned themselves into a pariah for the American people. All right, let's talk to Brandon Darby, Cartel Chronicles, next.